because that's S-H-I-T. That spells shit, we're aware, and I know that's fucking weird, but listen to this shit.
Let me tell you about my bedwetting. The last time I said that to someone, I think I was on a date. She didn't really seem to mind, but then again, I'd started owning it by this point. It might have gone differently if I said it with a lot of shame. I have a bedwetting problem. Isn't it crazy what confidence can do? How it changes perceptions? Let me tell you about my bedwetting.
Oh man, that trumpet sound. You know, there are sound effects in this app that I use, Anchor, to make this podcast, and I haven't gone through all of them. But like the little jingles that you hear, obviously not the shit theme song, but the little jingles that you hear, those come built in with the app, but that trumpet sound really got me. I thought that was appropriate. So what you just heard was the intro. I'm sorry, not the intro to my one person show, but it's the intro to this segment about my bladder issues. And what is that you just heard was a recording of a little piece of a 15 minute. It was the first 15 minutes of my one person show entitled "I Have Too Many Feelings." And to be totally honest, I didn't really have any strong convictions about talking about my bladder issues extensively on my podcast, but something just sort of triggered me, not in a negative way. You know, triggers don't always have to be uncomfortable, but I was having a conversation with somebody today over the phone. It was a woman who works at in a specific department at a hospital here in Pittsburgh. And the reason I was talking to this woman was because my mother actually found some information about this bladder, overactive bladder, like incontinence type of study. And they are trying out this new kind of treatment for people who have overactive bladders, incontinence, etc. And anyhow, so I had reached out to this woman and she called me and she was telling me about the specific treatment where they would go in and kind of inject things into your, I don't really know, it has something to do with the nerves and basically preventing your bladder from overreacting. But here's the catch, because I was all about this. I was talking to this woman, I was all about it, and she said, now, just as a disclaimer, we do give half of these participants basically a placebo, meaning they would still be going through my urethra and giving me nothing, and I wouldn't know for a certain amount of months if I was actually getting the treatment or not. And I was just thinking, oh, hell no. Abso-fucking-lutely not. I have been dealing with bladder issues too long. I don't want to play games here. You know, give me the treatment or don't. But you know what's funny is that, well, it's not funny, but because I won't be in Pittsburgh long term, aka probably not much longer than, you know, 3 to 5 months, I would guess, it wouldn't have really been able to work out anyhow. And, you know, so I was talking to this woman on the phone and I got really bummed out, which is kind of funny because my bladder issues, I've come to a lot of acceptance with them. That being said, I'm still very passionate about getting treatment. I have tried different treatments, but I was listening to this woman and I thought, you know what? I think it's time that I talk about my pee pants. Look, I mean, it's true. See, I was a bedwetter. I was a bedwetter until I was about 14. I don't know why I was a bedwetter, but I just was. And, you know, I talk about this extensively in my show, and I do it in a comedic manner, and I want to do it in a comedic manner. You know, anytime I've ever talked about my bladder issues or my bedwetting, I've always made sure to do it in a lighthearted manner, hoping that whomever was listening would get a kick out of it. But usually, you know, it would evoke a, you know, a little bit of pity. And I hated that. I hated that because, you know, it was already embarrassing enough to say that, you know, I've had bedwetting issues. And so at least if we can laugh about it, it feels more comfortable for me to laugh about it. So I was a bedwetter till I was 14. I think we tried some medications as a kid. I guess they didn't really work. I don't remember much about that. I just know that when I hit puberty, the bedwetting stopped. And, you know, I had sleepovers. I had so many sleepovers as a kid. And it's so weird because I know that I had anxiety about sleeping over at people's houses, but I feel like there was a level of denial. I would just bring this large maroon sleeping bag that I had with me to sleepovers and just pray that I wouldn't pee through the sleeping bag. And, you know, sometimes I did, sometimes I didn't, but I would just play dumb. And it's just so strange. I wasn't willing to wear Depends or Goodnights or anything, because I didn't want people to see, you know, a bulge in my jammy jam pants. And so, you know, I hit puberty around the age of 14, and I don't know how, but I started waking up in the middle of the night when I had to pee. Because the thing is that it wasn't just that I was peeing the bed. I had an overactive bladder, right? So it was kind of like I was in a deep enough sleep that my bladder wouldn't wake me, I guess. But I stopped peeing the bed. I was 14 and it was fucking incredible. And this would go on for years. I mean, I really don't think I don't know if I went full years without ever wetting the bed after that, like full on, you know, consistently waking up, you know, dry, but it was, as far as I recall, that was the case. Now, when I got to college and I started drinking alcohol, there were definitely occasions when I would get really hammered and then I would wet the bed. But right, but that was a very specific circumstance, so that never concerned me. That never concerned me. Now, that being said, so I've always had an overactive bladder. And what that means to me is it isn't just, oh, I have to pee really hard. I need to get to a bathroom because it's really uncomfortable. I mean, I would start to leak. Now, I don't remember having leaks while I was awake much as a child, but what I do remember is that if I was out or if I was with friends, and this happened all throughout my adolescence, like this never stopped. If I had to go to the bathroom really badly and I was out and I just got that rush, like, uh-oh, it's going to come out of me, I would get down on the ground, and I would kneel down and I would place like the heel of my left foot and I would push it up against my nether regions, you know, to kind of close up my urethra, if you will. And I would do this thing, which I remember as a child referring it to as stopping myself. So I would maybe be walking with friends, and then all of a sudden it was like, uh-oh, nope, this pee is going to happen. I would get down on the ground and kind of lean down, and that would prevent my bladder, you know, it would prevent the urine from coming out of my bladder. And friends or, you know, people would say, what are you doing? And say, okay, I'm just stopping myself. What do you mean? Well, I have to pee. Well, get up. Let's go to the bathroom. It's like, no, I can't get up right now, because if I get up, I'm going to pee everywhere. So it was weird. You know, it's kind of like, I'm sure if you're listening, I'm sure whoever's listening, if you've had to go to the bathroom and it's been kind of rough, sometimes it sort of like goes away. It, you know, like it gets intense and then it backs off a little bit, right? And then it gets intense again. I would kneel down and quote unquote stop myself for anywhere between probably 10 to 20 seconds. And then I'd kind of shake it off and I'd stand up and I was like, oh, okay, I'm good for a few minutes. You know, it's really weird how it feels like it's going to come, and it feels like an extreme emergency, and then it kind of goes away for a little bit. Not goes away, but the extremeness of it goes away. So that's happened throughout my life. That was nothing new. Okay. And when I started doing comedy, mainly in a more consistent, official way, if you will. It was after I graduated college in 2008. One of the first things that was my go-to with my stand-up was talking about my bedwetting, because I've always had a natural inclination to want to make fun of myself. And I'm sure, because, you know, it did cause embarrassment and shame. It's like I, without realizing what I was doing, it was kind of as if I was trying to get ahead of it. Meaning, you know, let me just own this part of myself that's really embarrassing and make fun of it so that nobody else can, or so that I can't feel insecure about it or something. And that's just my perception on what I was doing. It was a defense mechanism when I was young. And so I would talk about wetting my bed as a child during stand-up. And then I was able to relay it to the now, because when I started doing stand-up, I wasn't having bedwetting issues as an adult yet. And one of the things I would say in my stand-up was that, you know, when I was growing up, my mom would run out of toilet paper a lot, because she never bought toilet paper in bulk, and we both had overactive bladders. So when we would run out of toilet paper, my mom would put a stack, I swear to God, she would put a stack of coffee filters on the back of the toilet, and we would have to use those. So when I was doing this stand-up routine, I thought, oh, this is perfect. I can tie this in. So I can say, so now I realize that as a child, I was probably thinking to myself subconsciously, all right, I'm either going to wet the bed or exfoliate my vagina, right, with a coffee filter. And I loved that. I was so proud of that joke. I think because it was just so, it was, gosh, edgy is not the right word, but it was just the perfect amount of making fun of myself. Also just the notion of exfoliating your vagina. But I loved being able to say I was a bedwetter. Especially because I wasn't a bedwetter any longer. And, you know, I was in my very, very early 20s when I had started doing stand-up. So, you know, overactive bladder, that continued on for years. I am 35 now. When I was about 31 or 32, I don't know how I don't know how it maneuvered its way back into my life. I mean, I think it probably had obviously something to do with the fact that just in general, my bladder or my pelvic floor or whatever the hell is going on downstairs just started to feel weaker and weaker. And I realized, like, if I have to pee and I'm holding it for a certain length of time, no matter how much I quote unquote stop myself or sit in a chair or sit in a way that I'm not going to let this urine come out of me, somehow it's going to come out, if even just a little bit. And it just started to feel weaker and weaker. And, you know, and I attempted the whole Kegel thing, but didn't really seem to help. And I don't know, before I knew it, this was when I was in my last relationship with, you know, a very supportive partner. But I remember how lucky I felt that I was in a relationship already and that she accepted me for it, because I thought, well, you know, if I'm going to have issues again with bedwetting, at least I'm in a relationship and don't have to start something new and have that be, you know, a potential deal breaker. Although, you know, quick side note, if somebody can't handle your flaws, they're not the right person for you anyways. So talk about weeding out the weeds. Am I right? So anyhow, that relationship has been over now for over 2 years. But anyhow, here's what I'm trying to get at. The bedwetting started happening again, and it became very obvious that I couldn't go to bed without protection, because if I did go to bed without protection, I would 1000% wake up pregnant. I know that you knew that was going there. You knew I was going there. I couldn't risk it anymore. I would pee. I've joked about this so often and have shared this with so many people, mainly close friends, but friends nonetheless. And it still feels incredibly pathetic and embarrassing to say that out loud, which is why I have to say it. I have to say this. And besides the fact that I just love shock value and love embarrassing myself, I realize that the more I talk about it with people, the more women I hear have either had similar issues or have similar issues. And, you know, even now in our 30s, you know, and some women have it more mild, as in some women sneeze or cough, a little bit of pee comes out, or laugh. You know, I know for me, it's always been fun to say I laughed so hard that a little bit of pee came out. And then I would always double down, and then I would triple down because I would bring my bladder into it. God almighty, any chance that I have had throughout my life with people who I was comfortable with, I have made fun of myself for wetting the bed. Jesus Christ. You know, I'm starting to wonder, did I talk and joke about my bedwetting as a child so much that I just perpetuated it and then attracted bedwetting back into my adult life? Because this is the first time I've ever thought this. I'm not going to overthink that too hard because that doesn't serve me. However, it's food for thought. It's liquid for my bladder. My bladder will just eat that right up. So, a few years ago, when I started having nocturnal wettings, It sounds like nocturnal weddings, as in marriages at night. It's a neat concept. All right, I'm digressing here. When I started to have bedwetting issues again a few years ago, I started buying poise pads. If you don't know what poise pads are, boy, do I envy you. Poise pads are adult pads that are made for bladder leakage. And they're pads. They're not diapers. I'm going to tell you something right now. Even if I, and when I live alone, I just simply won't allow myself to wear Depends to bed. It's almost like I'm embarrassed in front of myself. I just can't do it. Like there's a limit. There's a limit. So the poise pads are a happy medium. You know, it's like, you know, women have to wear, well, they don't have to, but typically women will wear, you know, pads in addition to tampons sometimes, or, you know, not tampons, but women have to wear quote unquote feminine napkin. God, that phrase is so stupid to me. Feminine napkin. As if a napkin would do shit. Anyway, poise pads are really thick ass pads that are made to soak up your urine. Okay. So I started buying poise pads for myself. And you know, poise pads, they have a lot of different sizes. You know, they have, you know, moderate and regular and intense. And I'm going to float out of my bedroom if I don't wear this overnight. They have different sizes, strengths, if you will, of poise pads, which is nice. So I started wearing smaller poise pads during the day for when I would have those little mini leaks. And then I would get the large ones, the overnight pads, for bedtime. And it was super sexy. It's really hot. I'm having a moment. I just need to. But here's the deal, right? Talking about it in a way that where you can, talking about it with shame and embarrassment, it's like you understand why, you know, but I don't want to, I think it's so much more digestible even for myself, you know, to talk about it in a comedic format, which is why it's almost like I'm able to separate myself from it when I'm doing a stand-up bit or that little excerpt that you heard in my one-person show. But even, again, talking about it now, yeah, I'm sitting in my car, parked in a parking lot in sunny 52-degree weather in Pittsburgh in early March. But you know, you're listening to this right now, and we all have stuff. We all have things. We do. Some are more extreme than others, but we all have things that make us feel really ashamed or embarrassed, you know, and it just occurred to me that if I talk about my bladder and namely, you know, it's one thing to say I have an overactive bladder and it feels like a completely other thing to say, hey, I'm 35 and I'm having bedwetting issues again. But there is no fucking way that I'm the only one. And of course I'm not the only one, but maybe there are more people, women, men. Maybe there are more people out there who have this issue. And, I mean, who the hell wants to talk about this shit? You know? It's like, people might share it with close friends, but, you know, even people who share all of their personal information on social media probably aren't talking about their bedwetting. And I wanted to be a pioneer. Oh God, I should edit that part out. That was a play on the word pioneer, but I used P. These things, you know, as much as I really want to say, God, it has sucked having bladder issues my whole life. And it has. I mean, it's been a huge pain in my ass. It's been a pain in my ego, that's for damn sure. It's also, I don't know. It's a part of me that adds a little extra uniqueness. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to keep the bedwetting, meaning I'm not going to accept it and not continue to seek help for my bladder. But accepting it is vitally important to helping it. And I guess I want to say that I am proud that I have accepted it, or, you know, that I'm still in the process of accepting it, or that I'm playing with the idea, at least, you know. A couple years ago, you know, not terribly long after I realized that, Jesus, I have to wear a poise pad to bed, you know, I had been going to a few different urologists in Los Angeles, and I was learning about the different treatments that they had, because the medications that were being prescribed to me that were really supposed to slow my bladder down and not make it so reactive to the liquid I was putting in my body, the medications didn't really seem to work, right? So one of the treatments that I had found out about that was explained to me was getting Botox inserted into my bladder. And I was all about this. I didn't give a shit that they were going to stick a long, thin needle in through my urethra. I just knew that if this is going to help me, fucking do it. What's interesting is that, yeah, I was more willing to do that than try out more medications. And, you know, full disclosure, I don't know if I really gave some of those medications a full shot. I feel like I had started taking them, and then I started to feel a little funky psychologically. I remember feeling a little bit of anxiety, but I don't know if that was more anxiety about the potential to have psychological side effects, or if one of the side effects was actual anxiety. I don't fucking know. But the point is that, I at least didn't, the medication didn't work for me, whether it was on me or the medication. So I said, let's do the Botox. And I got it done. It wasn't a super pleasant experience, but it was definitely better than I thought. You know, I felt some pinches, you know, they went in there. There was some burning. Anyhow, they injected the Botox, and I guess within like a few days or up to a week is when it's really supposed to start to take effect. So it was really interesting. So basically what that did was, you know, and Botox essentially is, oh gosh, I wasn't prepared to do this. People, you know, have Botox inserted into their skin to remove wrinkles, and it basically expands and causes it, it, What the hell does Botox? It causes like a swelling. It's essentially like a poison. A poison that's very unlikely to be toxic to someone. Well, I don't know the rates of that, but the purpose of the Botox in my bladder was to get it to stop constantly overworking. It was kind of supposed to paralyze, actually. That was the word I remember them using. It was supposed to paralyze a part of my bladder so that it wasn't constantly working, right? Oh, we feel liquid. Let's push this right out. And it made a huge difference. It was really awesome because when I would feel that I had to pee a little bit, the original feeling was, uh-oh, I have to pee. I better go now because, you know, pretty much as soon as I felt like I had to pee, that pee needed to come out, like it was ready to come out. And with the Botox, I would feel the urge to pee, but it was not falling out of me. It was not falling out of me. And I was able to get to a bathroom, and it, you know, maybe it took a little longer to get it. Listen, I realize that this is, you know, a lot of info, but I mean, shit. If you know somebody who has bladder issues and they're fucking embarrassed, or they're living in a cave or in a permanent depend diaper, this is real shit, and you're not alone. So the Botox was great. It helped for a few months. That stuff does wear off, and you know, due to, you know, financial reasons and my insurance, I wasn't able to keep it up, and I just kind of fell back into the, well, this is what's happening. I am still having bladder issues, and eventually I'd like to get Botox again, but what else can I do? But I mean, admittedly, and look, 2020 was crazy. I had gotten the bladder stuff in 2019, or the Botox in my bladder. It was the youngest bladder you've ever seen west of the Mississippi. That was such a dad joke. And I haven't had it done since. And then of course 2020 was nuts. There was a lot going on there. Getting to a urologist and really figuring out what else we could do just didn't feel like a priority, you know? We were kind of all hunkering down a little bit, and I always had enough poise pads. Wow. And there you have it, folks. It's funny. It's also, you know, the truth is that I don't know what it's, I don't really, I mean, besides that, you know, brief, maybe 4 or 5 month period that I had the Botox in my bladder, I don't know what it's like to not have an overactive bladder. It's almost like this level acceptance that's just, well, this is how things are. And yeah, it's a pain in the ass, but I'm used to it being that way. And that is one thing that I really would like to change, is I don't want to be complacent with my bladder issues, because, you know, there's not one perfect solution, but there are solutions, and science and doctors, you know, they're figuring out new stuff all the time. And actually, I want to tell you guys this, because this is very funny. I'm surprised that I left this out up until now. Very late in 2019, I actually went on and did a segment on the daytime talk show called The Doctors. And I had written to them a couple years ago and thought, hey, maybe they have people on with serious like incontinence issues. Maybe they could do something for me. So I reached out to them and I filled out like an online form, And in late 2019, somebody reached out to me and said, hey, we have this little device that we are having like a few select women try out to see if it helps with your overactive bladder. Would you be willing to try it out for about a week and then come on the show and talk about it? And of course I said, hell yes. So they sent me this thing, and it's so funny. It's like this tiny, it looked like a little mouse, like a computer mouse, but it was actually an like a little ultrasound that was connected to a wire that was connected to a device. And then this device had Bluetooth and connected to my phone, and on my phone was an app. And I swear to God, so I would tape this little ultrasound piece with medical tape right near my pubic bone, and you know, hook it up to the app. And the app would actually alert me when my bladder was starting to fill up. But I already knew that it was filling up because I could feel it. So I guess the point, but the thing is that what that mechanism was, I guess, supposed to do was be helpful for women who have occasional leakage when they least expect it, like if they're sneezing or whatnot. I've always felt that, okay, I have to pee. I'm starting to have to pee. And then it just kind of goes from zero usually to 85 pretty quickly. But this was supposed to tell women, hey, listen, in case you didn't realize you have some urine in your bladder, you might want to try and empty it before you sneeze and potentially tinkle in your underpants. And I think that's really who it was supposed to benefit more, because I tried this thing out and, you know, it would alert me and say, hey, your bladder's getting full. And I was like, no shit. But, you know, my thing was, well, maybe this thing will wake me up in the middle of the night. And, you know, it did not. I guess that I was hoping that it might sound like a foghorn or a fire alarm or something that would basically say, Bethany, wake your ass up. There is urine coming. Anyhow, I went on the show, The Doctors. It was so funny. It was just such a funny experience, because a good friend of mine from comedy also happened to be on that fucking show. And it wasn't for her bladder. It was for like a certain kind of bra. But it was so weird, the synchronicities. And then the urologist who was on that episode talking about what this mechanism did was one of the urologists that I had been to maybe like 2 years prior. And I remember sitting on the couch on the stage, on the set, and we had a little break, and I realized that this woman had been my urologist, and I had told her, and you know, she said, oh, wow, you know, and she didn't remember me, but I thought it would be funny to lean over and say to her right before they started filming, wouldn't it be funny if I just wet my pants sitting here right on the stage? And I don't know. I of course I didn't. It's not like I knew this woman well. I mean, her fingers had been inside of me, you know, to test the strength of my pelvic floor, but I didn't know her otherwise. Anyway, she did not get a kick out of that. And then I felt a little silly. But the hair and makeup people really did me up. I mean, they made me look like such a badass business lesbian. I'm just gonna say that. I was wearing my own wardrobe. I had this pair of gray businessy slacks, you know, and I was rocking a blazer, and they put some earrings in me, and they made me up, and I just thought, you know, if I'm gonna go on this show and talk about my bladder, I'm going to fucking make it count. And, you know, this was not that long after my comedy partner, Maria Wilson, and I, you know, debuted our live one-hour lady fart show, where we talk about a lot of shameful, embarrassing things and do it in an absurdly comedic manner. So I thought, if I'm going to go on national TV and talk about my bladder, I have to say that I'm having bedwetting issues again, because number one, I knew people would be able to relate to it, but number two, I wanted to be able to say that. I had to say it because it also made me laugh. Hey guys, I went on national television and told everyone who is watching that I wet the bed again. You know, it felt a little crazy, but I thought, nah, I'm gonna fucking do it. If nothing else, for the story. And, you know, and what's cool about, what was cool about the experience was that they didn't want us to sugarcoat whether or not we liked the mechanism or whether it worked for us. They wanted us to be very honest. So when they asked if I would use it, I said no, because it really didn't do what I needed it to do. You know, it didn't slap me in the face in the middle of the night and said, get your ass out of bed. Here comes the pee. That's what I really wanted it to do. I did keep the device nonetheless. It's in a box. It's in a box somewhere. Anyhow, that was a funny experience. You know, you know how you watch daytime, like certain talk shows, or, you know, especially if it's like whether it's a medical one or a psychological one, and you watch people go on with an issue and then the show pays for them to receive help. I was naive. I really kind of thought that they might be able to help me even if this device didn't work. Like, well, here, we're going to suggest that you go and do this. And, you know, and that didn't happen. But I didn't have any regrets. And I'm not going to lie, I was very tickled to be able to share the clip of me on the doctors with friends and family. And yeah, that's the story of me being on the doctors. So when I was speaking with this woman over the phone today for this new kind of treatment, you know, I wasn't concerned. I wasn't thinking about this yesterday. I wasn't thinking like, God, please, I need help. I've kind of been going about this like, I know that there is going to be a treatment out there that works for me, and I'm determined to find it. But I also haven't been pounding the pavement trying to find it. And, you know, but when my mom, you know, read about this study, you know, I jumped on it, and I was really excited to talk to this woman. And then she said, you might get a placebo. Also, this is like a long-term thing. And if you're not going to be in Pittsburgh, that's not going to work. But the placebo thing, man, boy, did that throw me off. I said to this woman over the phone, I said, that just breaks my heart. I don't want to risk not getting treatment. I don't want to not know if I'm getting treatment or not. Give me the damn treatment. I said, better yet, give me a new fucking bladder. Thankfully she laughed. I was very passionate when I said that to her in that moment, but I do have full faith. I am on the verge of making, an appointment here, and because I am going to try, I think, medication again. I'm going to try some medication. It can't hurt. If it doesn't work, I'll stop taking it. But there's got to be something done. And there are extreme things. Like, here's one thing that my urologist had told me a couple years ago. He said, you know, one of the most extreme things that you could do is get a bladder augmentation surgery. And what we would do is, you know, we would basically stretch out the bladder. But here's the thing. Your bladder would then act as a reservoir. So you would not be able to urinate on your own. So I would be responsible for putting a catheter in me, you know, however many times a day to be rid of the urine. to release the urine. What's another verb I can use? To drain the lizard. Yeah, to drain my bladder. I would have to catheterize myself every day. And I'll be honest with you, even though it doesn't sound super pleasant, it's not out of the question. It's not totally out of the question. It does freak me out to know that I wouldn't be able to pee on my own. But my God, would that change things for me? I would never have to quote unquote stop myself ever again. Certainly wouldn't ever probably leak again. You know, it also sounds really kind of scary though. You know, going in and having a surgery that talk about invasive. Jesus. Anyhow, in the meantime, you know, the poise pads are great. And I watch my liquid intake, especially at night. It's real cute. It's like I'm 8 years old. And owning it for me is the best thing that I can do. And finding humor in it is important for me to do, for my mental health about it. And being able to share it without, I mean, look, there's probably always going to be a little bit of embarrassment if I am actively dealing with the issue of having a severely overactive bladder to the point where I, you know, sometimes pee in the middle of the night. I'm sure there will always be a little shred at the absolute minimum of embarrassment, but the more I own it and really accept it, and yeah, it makes me feel differently about it, because I don't want to be dwelling on it. I don't want to feel sorry for myself. I don't want people to feel sorry for me. I mean, I can't help how people feel, but I can deal with it in a way that feels best to me. So if there's anything that you're dealing with that's extremely embarrassing or something that you really feel ashamed of, let me tell you what. Talking that shit out, I don't know. It really makes a difference. There is a quote that I think I've heard it in Al-Anon, and I think it is, you're only as healthy as your secrets. Is that it? Wait a minute. Let me look this up. You're only as safe as I'm Googling this right now. Oh, I know what it is. I think it's, you're only as sick. Yeah. You're only as sick as your secrets. And, yeah. And you know what? Secrets can, I mean, they're not just living inside of you. There's some other shit going on there too. I'm not going to get into other medical metaphors and stuff, but if you're a woman or a man that has bladder issues, you are so not alone. And I'm just going to go ahead and quote Billy Madison.
If peeing your pants is cool, then consider me Miles Davis.
And oddly enough, in the excerpt that I had filmed, not in the one you heard, but in the one that was live streamed, right when I get finished talking about my bladder, a Miles Davis song entitled Freddy Freeloader plays, and that was completely unintentional. I just happen to love jazz and dig Miles Davis, and after quoting that for so many years, I hadn't made that connection until last week. So I'm gonna leave it there. You're not alone. whatever embarrassing thing or shameful thing might be going on in your life. So give yourself a break. Try to find the humor in it. Seriously. I fucking love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful week.
That's self-help ideas and thoughts with Bethany. Oh, that was a good ending, you dickhead.